Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Brandon Lindell, Senior Associate Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Last week we talked about the fact that we're going to be planting 20 churches as part of Home Missions, 21 churches here in the U.S., and then we're going to be planting 20 churches and digging 10 water wells around the world. In addition to that, can we give God some praise today? Isn't that cool? Man, I love being a part of a generous church. You guys are a generous church. We talked about in missions last year, we gave over $4.4 million to reach people and plant churches around the world. I think that's crazy. $4.4 million, that's crazy. That's really crazy. Can we give God praise for that today? So cool. And maybe you notice I'm a little excited, I'm a little pumped up, maybe just a little touch caffeinated because it's Mission Sunday. And I'll tell you why that's exciting, because what happens today is significant. What happens today is literally going to touch millions of people around the world because of what happens in church today. As we give and as we allow God to touch our hearts and we say, God, what are you going to do when we respond in faith to what you're doing? What are we going to do? You know, we talked last week, like I said, about the 21, but we're going to talk about what we're doing in foreign missions this year. If you want to go ahead and grab your Mission Sunday card, because it lists out where we're going to be planting churches. And if for some reason you didn't get a card or you're like, where's my card? Just slip up your hand. The host will bring you one. But grab your Mission Sunday card because you're going to be able to see where we're planting churches around the world. We got 3 churches going into South America. We got 2 churches in Asia, 5 in Europe, and then 10 in Africa. It's going to be cool to see what God does through us as a church this year. Now, maybe you're new today to James River Church, and I do want to welcome those watching online. Welcome those at the West Campus and at the North Campus. And it's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy to think that in a short amount of time, we're going to be welcoming people in Joplin while we're having service. They're going to be, Joplin Campus is going to be happening. So cool. That's really cool to think. But maybe you're new today and you've never been here on a Mission Sunday and you're like, okay, what's Mission Sunday all about? First of all, on Mission Sunday, we want to talk about how your giving's been used in the past so you understand how the giving, where it goes and how that works and what it does. And then we also want to talk about, you know, what missions giving is and why we do missions faith promises, and you'll learn what a missions faith promise is here in just a moment. And we also want to talk about what we're believing God to do through us as a church this year, how we're believing God to use us as a church, because we want God, and this is really the fourth reason, we want God to touch our hearts. We want God to speak to us today. We don't want to just go through life or be like, oh, this is another thing we're doing. No, today's a big deal. Because we want God to speak to us. And if we allow God to speak to us and we step out in faith and do something supernatural, that's where spiritual growth really happens. That's where we see God do something in our lives that we would have never thought was possible. That's how we say, God, you know, oftentimes we think, God, would you grow my faith, God, or I want to have big faith. That's how that happens, is saying, God, what would you speak to me? What would you have me do? And then responding to what God puts in our heart. Now, maybe you're here last week and you filled out a faith promise. And as you've been going through the week, you know, the Spirit of God's been speaking to you and say, you know what? I have more. I can do more. I can do more through you. That's what today's about, is saying, God, I want to listen to what you have to say. And God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to be a part of that more. So today's significant. We're going to talk, like I said, about what we've done as a church, how our giving works. And in 2013, you know, we started as a church. We feel God wants us to be a church that is a part of planting churches. We want to be building not just the church here, but building the church around the world and planting churches. Jesus said, I'll build my church. And so we talked about statistics that saying that, you know, when we plant churches, that's one of the most effective ways that we can share the gospel with people. So really in 2013, that's when that initiative really started for us. And we set a goal in 2013 to plant 100 churches in Siberia. And we were able to accomplish that goal. But what's really cool to think about is that built a momentum in Siberia for planting churches. And because of our 100 churches that were planted, the organization we partnered with was able to plant 450 more churches in Siberia because of the 100 churches that we planted. Yeah, and I think that's cool. I think we should give God some praise for that. And then in 2015, we set another goal to plant another 100 churches, and this time it was in the country of Cuba. Cuba had recently had opened up, and there was an ability for us to do that. And so we were going to partner with Paul Duda to plant 100 churches in Cuba. And really, these are house churches. So, you know, when you think 100 churches in Cuba, these are people that are opening their homes and having a house church on Sunday morning. And actually, they have church kind of all throughout the week. They're just spiritually passionate people on fire for Jesus. But, you know, you think about those. And when we planned for that, we were thinking, you know, 25 to 30 people per church, 100 churches. We've been able to plant 105 churches to date. And we'll, at the end of, when it's all said and done, we'll plant 117 churches in Cuba through our giving that happened in 2015, which is really cool. Isn't that awesome? Now, what's cool on top of that, and I think this is significant because it kind of gives you a sense of how many people God is using us to reach. You think 25 to 30 people per house church. Last year when we updated on you on that, there were 4,000 people in church in Cuba, and now those house churches have grown. One of the house churches is a pastor named Eddie and Morella. And they have a church, their house church, they call the Garden of God, which is kind of a cool thought. You know, it's an oasis in a country that's desperate spiritually. And they started their church. They had gathered a group of around 20, 25 people before the house church started. When they started their church, they had 31 people. Now they have 65 people in their house church, which is so cool. And so that's when you think about, you know, these churches are now what we thought were going to be 25 and 30 people in a church. They're now running 65 to 100, so we have 8,000 to 11,000 people in church in Cuba, which is so cool. And so then after that, yeah, let's give God praise for what's happening in Cuba. So then in 2016, we made another goal to plant 40 churches in the U.S. and around the world. And then 2017, we did the same thing. We're going to plant churches in the U.S. and we're going to plant churches around the world. In 2017, as part of our around the world, we planted churches in Ukraine and in Myanmar. And in Ukraine, it was going to be 10 churches that we were going to plant. And we went in, we planted those. And similar to Siberia, there was a momentum. Because part of it, man, there are organizations that when we partner with them and people when we partner with them, that they're saying, you know what, we have a vision to do this. But we need a partner to come in and help us kind of get that off the ground. And so when that happens, first of all, it gives people the sense like, okay, I think we can do the vision that we have, and it encourages them. So we planted 10 churches, and 65 churches have been planted in Ukraine since we planted those, just out of the momentum of planting churches, which is really cool, and I think we should praise God for that as well. So, hey, we're going to be praising God a lot in this service because we have a lot to praise God for as a church. We've been a part of some cool things, but I want to stop right there and just... I think that's a cool picture of how missions giving works. Because missions giving is supernatural. It's supernatural because God multiplies our giving. And that is visibly seen. You think Ukraine, we're going in to plant 10 churches. God multiplies that. And we're six times that amount are planted because we gave. We were directly planting 10, but God used that to multiply it. That if we hadn't gave, that wouldn't happen, but God multiplied it. You know, in Cuba, you think we're going to go in, we're going to reach 2,500 to 3,000 people by planting 100 churches. God not only multiplied the churches, but he multiplies the number of people. So we gave, God multiplied it. That's why when we say like, hey, this day's significant, or hey, what you're doing is supernatural, it's because when we give, we're saying, God, what do you want to speak to my heart? And God, I'm believing that you're going to multiply it and you're going to do more than I could have ever imagined as I step out in faith. And it's important on a day like today, you know, we talk about like 8,000 to 11,000 people in Cuba to think these are real people that are going to church, and the only reason they're going to church, you know, in 2015, those churches didn't exist. 2017, 4,000 people are in those churches. 2018, 8,000 to 11,000 people are in those churches. That's not only the power of church planting, but it's important for us on a day like today, as we're saying, God, what would you have me do? How would you have me be a part? That we don't think in terms of only finances, but we think in terms of the results that God's gonna bring. God responds to faith. That's how, you know, when you read the Bible, that's how it works. God responds to faith. So when we think in terms less of what we can just do, if you know, if any of us did all our, like said, okay, say, I'm gonna make a vision faith promise, and we go about it like this. We're gonna go look at all our financial priorities for the year, and we're gonna look at the needs that we have, and we're gonna look at, you know, our budget, and then we're gonna come and say, okay, I think based on all of that, I can do this. Then we're gonna give a lot less than faith would give. It's us saying, God, I'm believing you this year to make me a channel of your supply. When you fill out a faith promise, you're saying, God, I'm writing this number down, and God, I'm believing that you are gonna provide. And it's God putting that number in your heart. So you believe, if you put that in my heart, you're gonna do something big, and I can't wait to see what you're gonna do. But just like Ukraine, just like Cuba, God's gonna multiply it. God's gonna multiply it. So I pray that you'll be praying, even as we're talking about these things, and saying, having in the eyes, God, give me the eyes of faith to see what you wanna do through me. You know, it's last year we talked, you know, we did Ukraine, we did 10 churches, and 60 churches were planted out of that. And then we planted churches in Myanmar, which is a recently opened country. It's primarily Buddhist. Religious persecution is heavy there. And so it was an open door for us to plant churches there. And we were able to plant not just 10 churches, but 13 churches that we directly planted as a church in that country. And in addition to that, we were able to supply, water is a big problem in Myanmar, clean water is a big problem there, and we were able to supply water purification kits to every Assembly of God church in Myanmar, so they're able to provide clean water to people who are coming to church, clean water to people that are in the surrounding areas of the church, because people are drinking water out of places, the same places where they're bathing, places where there's livestock, drinking waterborne illness becomes an issue then, but there's water purification kits at every single Assembly of God church because you gave last year, in addition to the churches that were planted in that country. God's opening up doors for the gospel in Myanmar. Now, I want you to think about this. Since James River started as a church, we've been able to plant 304 churches, okay? We've directly planted 304 churches. When you think about the 450 that were in the Ukraine, and then, or not 450 in Ukraine, 450 in Siberia, and then the churches in Ukraine, that is 510 churches. Earlier, I said 65 churches. It's 60 churches additional in Ukraine. But if you think about that, that means as a church, we've been a part of planting 814 churches around the world, and that's God's using those, and they're growing, and God's touching people's hearts with the gospel because of you. Now, that's really neat. That's cool. God's used us in a big way. But as we talked about on Vision Sunday, there is more. There is more God wants to use us to do as a church. There's more God wants to do through you. There's more God wants to do in us reaching people. God's not like, oh man, that's awesome. 814 churches. You know, I think I'll take it from here, guys. James River, you don't need to help anymore. I don't need it anymore. God, it's not that God needs our help. God wants us to be a part of what he's doing. And he's saying, you know what? I have more for you as you partner with me. And I have more that I want you to do. And you're going to have the joy of being a part of it. There is more. How do I know there is more? Because Jesus Christ has not come back yet. Jesus Christ has not come back yet because he wants us to reach more people. You know, with Jesus, before he ascended into heaven in Matthew, he said this. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I commanded you. And lo, behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, even to the end of the age. Why do we give to missions? How do we know there's more? First of all, we know that because God's in charge. He said, all authority has been given to me. How many know Jesus is in charge? He's not our co-pilot, people. He's the captain, all right? He's not in the back seat. He's in the driver's seat. Jesus is in charge. Jesus, I love that, that Jesus has all authority. I don't know what you're worried about today, but it will comfort you to know that Jesus is in charge. Jesus is in charge of your situation. He's in charge of your life. And that's why it's so important for you to understand and me to understand that when we know Jesus is in charge, then we align ourselves and submit in obedience to his authority. When we recognize Jesus is in charge and we submit to his authority, that's where we find the blessing in our life. If you give God your life, you're going to be blessed. Some of you haven't given your heart to Christ. I want to encourage you. You'll never know the blessing of God unless you give your heart to Christ. You just won't. It's not about what you do. It's not about, man, I was a good person here and that. Unless you're under the authority of Christ, you'll never know the blessing of God. That's where it starts. God fills your life with hope when you know he's in charge. When you make Jesus in charge, you go say, God, everything I have, you just recognize everything I have is from you. Everything I have is on loan from you, and you're in charge. It's yours anyway. And so if God asks you to give your time, or God asks you to give of your talent, or God asks you to give financially, and God speaks to your heart, it's his. It's his to ask for. Now, I know as you hear that, you're thinking, well, how does that work? And I think there's a quote I want to read to you from a guy named John Bonnell. He says this. He says, if one first gives himself to the Lord, then all other giving is easy. That's right. That's good. So as you think about God speaking to your heart, you have to say, God, am I really under your authority? If God, when you're speaking to my heart, I'm not willing to go where you want me to go. I'm not willing to do. You know, Jesus says it like this. He says, go and learn about this. You know, obedience is better than sacrifice. Jesus says, mercy is better than sacrifice. God, you know, oftentimes if we're just trying to be religious, we can think, oh, okay, I guess God wants me to give. I guess I better do something. But I just want to encourage you. That's not the spirit of it. And honestly, there's no joy in that. But if there's a heart that says, God, you're in charge. You gave it all to me anyway. God, I know if I give it, you're going to bless it. I just want to be obedient to you. God, if you want me to go somewhere, if you're calling me, maybe you're in this place and God's calling you to be a missionary. If you want me to go be a missionary, don't be afraid of that. God, if you want me to do something, if you're calling me to give, if you're calling me to believe you for big things, God, you're in charge. And I'm happy to do it. God wants obedience, not our sacrifice. He wants obedience that says, God, I'm willing to go with you wherever you want to take me. And a mercy, you know, mercy is better. Jesus said this to the Pharisees. He said, you know what? I want you to go and learn what this means, meaning this is something you're going to have to chew on for a while. Find out what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. God wants us to have hearts that are full of the Holy Spirit that say, God, if that's on your heart, that's on my heart too. God, help me to see what you see. Help me to see with eyes that you see. Help me to have a heart that's moved with compassion. God, help me to be motivated by what you're motivated by. And when we do that, we're really operating in a way that honors the Lord. We're coming under his authority, and there's a joyful submission and a joyful obedience that comes out of that. And it's because God wants to be a part. He wants us to be a part of what he's doing. How cool that we serve a God that wants us to be a part of what he's doing. He's not just like, hey, guys, I'm going to evangelize the entire world and I don't need your help. But he says, you know what? I want you to be a part of it. God, that's why he says, go and make disciples. He commands us to go and make disciples because he wants us to be a part of what he's doing on the earth. He wants us to be a part of reaching people. What's God doing? You know, we say, God wants us to be a part of what he's doing. Maybe you'd be asking the question, well, what is God doing? You know, Jesus said this, the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. God is looking for lost people. That's what God's always doing. God's the God who leaves the 99 to go after the one. God's looking for lost people. So when we say, God, we want to be a part of what you're doing, we're going to be looking for lost people. His heart is desperate to reach lost people. God cares about lost people. God wants relationship with people. And that's why if you don't know the Lord, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's why you constantly feel in God talking to you and saying, you need to get right with me, because he's constantly reaching out to you, constantly looking for lost people. So when God wants us to be a part of what he's doing, what are we going to be doing? We're going to be reaching the lost. We're going to be seeking ways that we can be a part of what he's doing on the earth, part of reaching people who don't know Jesus, getting a desperation for the lost. Because why? He says, you know what? I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Why? Because he's put eternity in our hearts. You and I are made for eternity. You are made for eternity. God's put eternity in your heart. That's why you sense, man, I feel like God has a purpose for me. And if you don't know that, you're looking for a purpose. Until you find the purpose God has for you, you're looking for a purpose. God's put eternity in your heart. He's built you with an eternal purpose. He's built you for eternity. One day, everybody lives forever. You're going to live forever in heaven, or you're going to live forever in hell. Because you're built for eternity. He's put eternity in your heart. He's built you for an eternal purpose. He's built every single person. You think of those 11,000 people in Cuba. Every single one of them are known by God. Every single one of them is built for eternity. Every person that God's called us to reach, they're built for eternity. They're built for eternity. They're lost and dying and going to hell. You know, we can do everything better in heaven except reach the lost. We can do everything better. You know, I want to encourage you today as God's speaking to your heart. And you're saying, you know what, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want you to encourage you. Once this life's over, it's not like you can be like, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing and reach people through missions. It's over. Today, you can do that. And as you're a part of that, you know, that's why Jesus said, you know what? In this life, use your worldly wealth to gain friends for eternity. Because when it's gone, you're going to be welcomed in to eternal dwellings. What does that mean? Use your wealth to make friends for eternity. It means that one day, when you're in heaven, God is supernaturally able to know who's giving reach to. And when you get to heaven, you're going to know who you're giving reach, and they're going to know. And they're going to say, thank you so much that you believed God, that you stepped out in faith, because I'm here because you gave. I'm here because you believed God. I'm here because you said, I want to be a part of eternal. I want to have an eternal perspective and be a part of building something for eternity. You know, Jesus said, don't store up yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal. You know, your car breaks down, your boat breaks down, whatever, everything breaks down, you know. But store up yourself treasure in heaven, where none of that happens. It's there permanently. Where moth and rust don't destroy and thieves don't break in and steal. You're setting up something for eternity. That's the kind of life God's called us to live as believers, an eternal life. You do best when you live the day like it's your last day. To say, this could be my last day. So what kind of faith promise do you want to write? If God's like, you know, you write your faith promise like, you know, and we're all up in heaven. You're like, you're still filling it out. You know, you're like, oh, I'm just about to add a zero to that, God. No, but I'll do that for fun. But it's true, isn't it? Man, I want to live the kind of life that if God came back today, I'd be like, God, I'm excited because I stepped out in faith. You know, Jesus talks about it like this. He says, you know, at the end when the master gives an account, we all want to hear. He says, well done. We can put it on the screen. Well done. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. You know, it means enter into your reward. God's got a reward for us. He's got a reward for us to step out in faith. Well done. Well done. You did what I asked you to do. You didn't hold back. You didn't think small about me. Sometimes we can think so small about God. Like if we give to God, that's going to be less for us. Like if we give to God, He might bless it, he might not. He might use it, he might not. He might provide, he might not. That's not the kind of God we serve. Those who look to him are never disappointed. Ever, 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 ever disappointed. That's what the word of God says. It's true. Don't think small about God. Don't think small about what God can do in your life. Don't think small about what God can do in your family. Don't think small about how God wants to speak to you and how God wants to use you. He has a purpose for you that's big. And you know, whenever we step out in faith and say, God, I'm gonna believe you for something big, God honors that. Honors that. It's cool to watch him do that. So what are we doing this year? What are we doing as a church? What's our plan? We want to plant 20 churches around the world. One of those, and I'm not going to highlight them all. If you grab your card, you can see the list like we did earlier of where we're going to be doing that. But one of those says sensitive country. And obviously we put sensitive country on there because we can't say where it is or much about it. But I can tell you this, that when we're giving this year, we're going through our giving to be a missionary through our giving in a country that we can never go on our own, to be used with a people group that we would never be able to reach on our own, but we can go there through our giving. And God's gonna use that in a country that's not open to the gospel. God's gonna use us to reach people. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? In Brussels, Belgium, we're gonna be planting a church that is gonna reach an Arabic-speaking group in Belgium. You know, with the refugee crisis in Europe, there's so much need there for Muslim people and Arabic-speaking people. So much need, but so much opportunity for us as believers to show the love of Christ. And so you saw Sam and Naomi in the video. They are already working with Muslims and Arabic-speaking people in Belgium. And what they're doing, man, the stories they're telling are really cool, because people that are deep into Islam are being saved. But they're gonna start an Arabic-speaking church in Belgium, and we're gonna be a part of that. Isn't that cool? Can we praise God for that? Because that's pretty cool. God's using us there. In the Netherlands, you think of the Netherlands, and if you know anything about the religious and spiritual climate in Europe, that, man, we need to do everything we can to reach people in Europe. In the Netherlands, 32.5% of people consider themselves religious. It's like less, what is that? 32.2, less than a third. Just did some quick math. It's like, wow, that guy can do math really good. But that's a desperate situation there. That there are a lot of people there who, you think of that group. So 32.5% are religious, even less than that is Christian. And the need is huge. But we're going to go in there, we're going to plant a church, and we're going to believe, just like Cuba, that that's going to launch more churches and that God's going to use that to reach that country. How cool if we can come back and say, you know what, we stepped out in faith, and God, we believed you, and God, look at what you did. I can't wait to see next year what has happened in the Netherlands because we gave, and the churches that have been started and the people that have been reached, and God's going to use us to do that. In Ethiopia, we're going to plant 10 churches and drill 10 water wells. 10 churches and drill 10 water wells. Now, this is really, really significant for a lot of reasons. First of all, water in Ethiopia is a huge need. So aside from planting churches, we're going to be meeting people's physical need that is massive. Some people walk 6 miles both ways just to get water, just to get clean water. Otherwise, they're getting water that's from rain, that's standing, that cattle are drinking out of, and people are using for bathing and all kinds of things. And that creates a lot of waterborne illness in that country. And I think it's 50% of the kids die before age 6 because of waterborne illness. That hospitals are filled with a lot of people that are just sick because they're drinking water that's not clean. And so drilling water wells meets a huge need. And what our water wells are going to be solar powered. So in the past, before we were able to do that, we drilled some water wells in Tanzania years ago, if you remember that. And those water wells are still running, still going, which is awesome, giving water to people. But these water wells that we're doing, they're going to be solar powered pumps. which makes them more reliable, and that way they're not relying on fuel. And as well, when we plant a church with a water well, there are people that then are able to maintain it, because, you know, when you go in and plant water wells, something that's true about that is if there aren't people to maintain it, then after 2-3 years, sometimes 5 years, they break down and they're no longer useful. So that's why it's cool when we say, like, hey, in Tanzania, our wells are still going. That's awesome. That's still giving clean water to people, and God's still using that. So the well we're drilling, we plant them with the church to share the gospel, but also so they can be maintained. Now, Ethiopia is not, it's not a country that's open to the gospel. It's 29th on for religious persecution. The government's a part. They're not open. They're not like, man, I just wish there would be more churches planted. They're against, especially Protestant churches being planted. There's persecution from the government for that. There's persecution from Islam for that. There's persecution from other denominations for that. It's not an open country to that. But when you say, we're going to plant a church, but we're going to drill a water well, then the government actually provides land for that, that then you can use for the church, which is really cool. The government in Ethiopia, if we drill a water well, the government's gonna become part of church planting in Ethiopia, which is so awesome. Can we give God some praise? That's cool. That's cool. So those, if we drill a well, plant a church in Ethiopia, each one of those, because of the well, costs $35,000 to do. But as we do that, and I give you that amount because I know there are some people here, and if you step out in faith and believe God, there are some of you that on your own, you could plant and drill a well. You could say, we're gonna give $35,000 this year, and we're gonna believe God, and we're gonna watch God use us to drill a well and plant a church. Jesus said this, that whenever you give, if anyone gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. That when we're giving a cup of cold, clean water in Jesus' name, that's gonna bless the people that we give it to. That's gonna meet a physical need, but it's gonna open up doors for the gospel. And when we're part of that, God sees that. God loves when we're part of what he's doing. God loves when we say, God, we care about somebody's need. God loves when we say, God, we want to open up doors for the gospel. And God rewards that. He rewards it. He loves when we do that. I just want to talk to you just for a second. Because whenever we allow compassion in our heart for a need, and we say, we allow God to move us. We allow God to speak to us emotionally. That's a good thing. You know, Jesus, when he was actually going through a time where he needed to be alone. His cousin John the Baptist had been murdered. And it said Jesus went off to a desolate place to be by himself, and the crowds figured it out where he was going. And you would think, you know, Jesus would feel like, oh man, like there they are again. Because honestly, if left to ourselves, that's probably what we would do. But Jesus, and I think it's cool that that's where scripture chooses to tell us this. Jesus, it says, saw the crowds and he had compassion on them, because he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. That when God sees Ethiopia, when God sees the world, when God sees, you know, the Netherlands that doesn't believe God, a place that's not known to be Christian, God doesn't see it and not care, but he sees it and he's moved with compassion. He cares. Those people are under God's wrath. We learned about that in Romans. They're under God's wrath unless somebody does something, unless God moves. And we can go through our praying, but we can go through our giving. And if God touches our heart with compassion, that's a good thing, to have your heart warmed. And when compassion and generosity come together, it's powerful. you know, Jesus saw the crowds and he had compassion on them. And he didn't go, well, guys, let's get back in the boat. No, he got out and he healed them. And he engaged compassion and generosity. When we have compassion, we're doing something. We're not only feeling something, we're doing something. Both are important. Both are important because they reflect God's heart. And you know, our giving leaves a legacy. It not only affects the people we're giving to, but it leaves a legacy and affects the people around us. There's an elderly couple that were part of the church in the early days. Their name were Brother and Sister Clark, and Ian and Estelle. And they were awesome people, giants of the faith, just people that you love to be around. And I remember when I was younger, I would mow their lawn, and in the middle of mowing their grass in the backyard, we'd stop and we'd sit on the back porch and drink lemonade. I'd sit down on the back porch and drink lemonade with EM. And if you come to the church or you're familiar with the wedding chapel, the wedding chapel is actually named after them because they're just giants of the faith. It's cool to be around people like that. You know, because you're like, man, I want to be like that. And he did some amazing things for God, but he lived on purpose. He lived on purpose, and he loved God, and he was a giver. And Brother Clark was really a mentor for my dad early on in his giving when the church was going to do its first giving campaign. He talked to my dad and asked him what he was going to give and then challenged him to give more and challenged him to believe God for big things and challenged him to lead. And so now I've watched my parents as they've given generously over and over again, watched God bless them. I've watched how they've given at times when it didn't make sense to give, and God blessed them. You know, even as getting ready for the weekend, talking to my dad about giving, and he mentioned this, and this is cool, just to have parents like this. But he mentioned they got their giving statement for 2017, and they were shocked because they said we gave more than we thought. He said we gave more than we thought was even possible. That's legacy. Brother Clark, Sister Clark, influencing and encouraging them. My parents, now watching them, and Beth and I are encouraged and influenced and challenged to live generously. You know, when we give, our giving affects. Yes, God uses it to bless people, but he also blesses the people around us and challenges them to have big faith. Beth and I don't want to tell our kids only stories from other people who believe God for big things. We want to tell them our own stories. You know, we've gone on a giving journey and we've seen God bless us, but we want to give big. We want to step out in faith in a big way and watch God do what only he can do. Because if only God can do it, then God gets the glory. And we get to see the supernatural. You know, you can't see the supernatural if you don't step out with supernatural faith. God, I want to see you do something supernatural. God's like, okay, why don't you trust me supernaturally? That's how it works. How do you give more than it's possible? The answer is you can't. You can't give more than spot. Only God can do that. Yeah. Only God can do that. So when you say, okay, God, I'm going to believe you, how does that work? When we make a missions faith promise, how does that work? This is not a pledge. This is not us saying, I'm making a pledge. A pledge is when you know how you're going to work it out. That means like you take it from your savings, you take it from your investments. You're like, this is how we do it. This is different than that. This isn't tithing. Tithing is the first 10% of whatever we get. The Bible says it belongs to the Lord. It's for building his church. And we give that. We're giving God what's his. We're not really even giving at that point in some sense because it's already the Bible says it literally belongs to him. But when we give a faith promise, what we're doing is we're saying, God, you're laying something on my heart. And God, that's a supernatural thing that's going to have to happen. But God, I'm believing you to make me your channel of provision. I'm going to become a channel. I'm going to become a conduit. I'm going to become something that you pass giving through so I can be a missionary of supply, a missionary of supply. I may not be able to go there physically and reach people physically, but I'm going to be a missionary of your supply, and I'm going to watch you do something great. That's what a missions faith promise is. When you write that number down, you're saying, God, it takes my breath away. But God, I believe you're going to do something great. I believe you're going to do something great. So I want you to go ahead and take your card. And as we do that, and as you're thinking about what God would have you do, maybe last week you wrote down a faith promise. But if you were being honest, you'd be like, that doesn't really take faith. And God's putting on your heart saying, you know what? There's more. There's more that I want to do through you. You know, you don't have to be afraid. This is so important, okay? So lean in on this one. You don't have to be afraid to give. God blesses people when they step out in faith. That's what the Bible says, all right? That's what the Bible says. I promise you, look up anything about giving in the Bible, anything. Anything about giving in the Bible, and there is a blessing promise attached to it. Okay, so think about Luke 16. Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running or poured into your lap. At the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Because God's blessing you. Now, we talk about missionary of supply. God's going to pour a supply into you. And we are saying, God, as you pour your supply into me, rather than, God, me going out and buying a new pair of shoes or me getting a new car, God, I'm going to use that to be a channel of your supply. But here's what I want you to catch. There's always overflow. There's always overflow. What's that mean? That means that God's going to bless you, and he's going to take care of your needs, and he's going to take care of the things that are important to you. He's going to bless you. God loves to bless you. God loves to bless you. The generous person prospers, Proverbs says. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. You know, we talked about tithing earlier. There's a promise attached to that. See if I'll not open the floodgates of heaven, pour out such a blessing you can't contain it. Scripture after scripture after scripture. And I say all of that because in some, you know, I'd say circles in Christianity, and some people's thinking, that's whenever somebody talks about blessing attached to giving, you're almost like, I think it's kind of funny, but you almost kind of get offended. You know, you're like, well, I don't give to be blessed. I give because because that's the right thing to do. And I just want to encourage you, not that you would say it like that, but some people that aren't in this room would say it like that. And I just want to encourage you and challenge your thinking. Maybe you haven't ever said that, but you kind of think that. I want to encourage you to believe God for bigger and to say, God, your word says it, so I believe it. God, your word says when we give, you bless us. Your word says when we step out in faith, you bless us. You love to reward. God loves to reward people because he loves to say, wow, you did what I asked you to do. You actually stepped out. You're a part of what I'm doing. I'm going to bless you for that. So you can do it again. And you don't have to be afraid to give. You don't have to be afraid. I'd say, like, Beth and I are giving a faith promise this year. It takes our breath away. But we believe that's what God has for us. We believe God wants to do something supernatural. And so when I say it takes our breath away, it's kind of like, well, God, you're definitely going to have to do that. That's definitely going to be supernatural. But it's not a take our breath away that's like, oh no, I don't know how this is going to work and how we're going to make it. It's take a breath away and say, God, that's supernatural, but we're going to pray and we're going to believe, and we get excited when we think about that. As you're thinking about your faith promise, I want to read you this testimony because I think it brings it alive in a story. This person writes, this past year, we felt God speaking to us to give more to missions than we did the year before, equating to about 15% of our income. This is on top of the 10% we already were giving to tithe. We weren't making a lot of money at our jobs at the time, and on top of that, we had our daughter's wedding in June to help pay for. Practically, we thought, how can we do both? But we stepped out in faith and committed ourselves to trust God that He would supply. Well, a few months later, God did a miracle and provided an unexpected tax refund check that was thousands more than what we were expecting. We were not only able to give our missions faith promise in full by May, but also God provided enough for us to pay for the wedding. On top of that, in the month of May, within the same week, both my wife and I got new jobs that paid nearly three times more than what we were making at our previous jobs. God is faithful. He not only provided what we needed to give, but He also cared about the things that are important to us and then did more than we could ever imagine. Can we praise God with them right now? So cool. So cool. And I hope that encourages you in this respect. Corinthians says this, He who provides seed for the sower provides bread for food and will also provide for your needs so that at all times, on all occasions, you may be generous in every way. Here's how it works when we step out in faith and we say, I'm going to give. And we say, I'm going to believe God. That God provides. So then the next time, if you give and you believe God and you say, God, we're going to give this year, I promise you, based on the word of God, that you will be sitting here next year and you will say, I could give more this year than I did last year because God blessed me last year because I gave. But here's the key. You have to believe God and then you have to step out in faith. You know, God responds to faith. So that only works, and I can only say that. I promise you means I'm just saying, don't take my word to the bank. Take the word of God to the bank. You know what I'm saying? Say, this is how it works because that's what the word of God says. But it's true. It's just true. And God wants us to reach a lot of people this year. He wants us to help a lot of people this year. And maybe last year when we did the Missions Faith Promise, you said, oh man, I got to take the year off or I don't think we can give this year. And I just want to encourage you to kind of think about last year and say, are you more blessed because of that? When you look at your situation, you're like, oh man, I could see how we a lot more because we didn't give. Or are you saying, man, I wish we would have stepped out in faith. Because what we're doing is we're going. We're reaching people. We're building a legacy. We're stepping out in the supernatural. We're saying, God, I want to be a part of doing something big for you. And so I'm going to step out in faith and watch what you do.